Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
1941 will be remembered as a marker of the game's significant changes. There were so many things going on in the world, some great world events, which we'll come into in just a second. But the NFL and the style of play were about to undergo one of the most revolutionary changes in decades. We're going to cover the 1941 professional football season and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren. He's of pigskindispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to another Football History Rewind, the podcast that talks about the year-by-year in football, and we are at the 1941 professional football season. Last episode talked about the college season and some of the changes that happened there. Well, the professional football season lasted just a little bit longer and got into some very worldly events. And now there was a shuffle at the top of the NFL brass even before that season started. And league president Carl Stork, who was one of the founding members of the National Football League, the APFA, back in 1920 at that original meeting, stepped down and gave way to former Notre Dame Four Horsemen star Elmer Layden. Now, Layden became the NFL's first commissioner. Up to that point, if you remember, everybody that was in charge of the NFL was a president. You know, Jim Thorpe, Joe Carr, and Carl Stork. Now, the signing of Layden was a contract promising $20,000 a year over some very informative years that would be coming up here. On April 5th, Layden and company moved the National Football League offices to the city of Chicago, all the way to the Windy City. Now, the playoffs were integrated into the NFL that year. Only if two teams were tied at the end of the season, a sudden death format activated if a playoff was tied after four quarters. Remember, we had an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference, five teams in each, and that's those two champions of each one of those conferences, the best teams with the best records at the end of the regular season, they would play for the National Football League Championship. So, in other words, two teams are tied, and for a conference, same records, head-to-head they split, they would play a playoff. Now, there were some other things going on. Pittsburgh Steelers owner Art Rooney Sr. was frustrated by all the ill fate of his team's 1940 season after a 2-7-2 record. That previous season, he tried to change the fortunes of the team by changing the moniker from the Pirates to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we know them today. But this and some personnel changes seemed to be fruitless in that 1940 season. Meanwhile, across the Keystone State, Rooney's longtime friend, Philadelphia Eagles owner Burt Bell, who also launched his franchise in 1933, same time that Rooney launched the Steelers, they were suffering a similar frustration and a woeful 1940 club. Both teams in their first 7 or 8 years, not very good. Now, a way out arose to help settle Rooney's stomach from the financial impact of the continual losing seasons. A 26-year-old New York businessman, Alexis Thompson, whose family's wealth, ironically, came from the steel industry, wanted a new toy. So Lex, he offered Rooney many times what the franchise cost the Chief to start, the sum of $160,000 back in 1941. Now, a clever sequence of events that transpired following months. In late 1940, December, the league approved the sale of the Steelers to Thompson at the owners' meeting. Rooney invested these newly found funds by buying half of the Eagles from Burt Bell, who also needed the cash infusion after long-suffering years in the red. So it was a win-win for everybody involved. Now, Thompson changed the name of his new Pittsburgh club to the Pittsburgh Ironmen and hired coach Greasy Neal. Now, secretly, Thompson and Bell and Rooney had a master plan. So, because you've never heard of the Pittsburgh Ironmen playing in the National Football League, have you? I haven't either. And there's a reason for that. Now, Lex was planning on moving the team out of the Steel City to Boston. Because if you remember correctly, just a few years earlier, the Braves, who were the Redskins, George Preston Marshall, moved his team to Washington, D.C. So Boston was without a National Football League franchise. Now, Burt Bell and Art Rooney were going to make a statewide team called the Pennsylvania Keystones, splitting home games between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh after Lex took his Ironman team, or whatever he was going to call them after that, back up to Boston. Washington owner George Preston Marshall, though, entered the story. He didn't want to see a statewide franchise because that's a little bit too close to home for his Washington club, being sort of there at the corner, bottom corner of the east of Pennsylvania. So he blew the whistle on the unhatched plot, rallying the other owners to block the unplanned transactions of Rooney, Bell, and Thompson. A new plan was needed since Thompson liked his team and coach, but not the town. And Rooney wanted to return to the confines of his hometown, Pittsburgh. This newly accepted course of action was for the two franchises to trade cities and names. The Bell and Rooney-owned Eagles franchise became the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a Thompson Ironman became the new Philadelphia Eagles in April of 1941, leading to the April 3rd, 1941 Philadelphia Inquirer headlines to read, quote, "Eagles swap franchise with Pittsburgh," end quote. And, quote, "Burt Bell quits Philadelphia. Pittsburgh gridmen come here," end quote. There were some other things going on in December of 1941 when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on Sunday, December 7, 1941. At the time, the East Coast was 12:55 p.m. There were three league games underway, including one at the Polo Grounds as the Giants entertained crosstown rival the Brooklyn Dodgers of football on Tuffy Lehman's tribute day. According to reports, the Stadium Associated Press ticker tape machine started hammering out a message near halftime of the game, which read, quote, "Airplanes identified as Japanese have attacked American naval base at Pearl Harbor," end quote. But during the commemorations of the former Giants star Lehman's, the public address announcements boomed through the stadium, stating that all active military persons needed to report to their commanding officers right away. There didn't seem to be any mention of the attack to Pearl Harbor to the fans to make the players and those in attendance aware of why the soldiers were being called to the base, but there was a sensitivity because the world was at war, America was on the verge of war, and nobody knew when that was going to happen. Now, New York end Jack Loomis, who had suited up for the game as a reserve, might not have known then, but this would be the final NFL game he attended. Loomis joined the U.S. Marine Corps and was one of the many American war heroes who died on the island of Iwo Jima a few short years later. Among his last words to surviving comrades on the island was something that, to the effect of, "The New York Giants just lost a perfect end." Now, the New York Football Giants ended, and the Marine was later posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his service in the war. Meanwhile, at Griffith Stadium, in the nation's capital on December 7th, a similar announcement to military and government officials echoed through the stands. The press members were encouraged to report to their employers immediately, but no one in attendance was told why as to these statements were made. They soon discovered that the event involving the United States entering two theaters of war in a conflict in 3 months and three continents in just a few short days, not 3 months. And, you know, President FDR would sit there and say that, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that, you know, this is an ill time in the history of the world. And, you know, they were going to have nothing to fear but fear itself. Remember that famous speech. Now, the postseason did kick in that year. The timing of the playoff overtime rule that we talked about earlier was perfect because the Western rivals, the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, were tied after the last scheduled games for first place. The National Football League's first divisional playoff was set, and the game took place at iconic Wrigley Field, home of the Cubs, and that's where the Bears' home was at that time, too. And the hometown Bears won the game 33-14 to earn the right to host the National Football League Championship against the New York Football Giants. And once again, the Bears would make the Windy City Patrons proud with a 37-9 victory. The passing leader for the NFL in 1941 was Cecil Isabel, 1,479 yards. The rushing leader was Pug Manders with a whopping 486 yards. The leading receiver was Don Hutson with 738 yards, which was tremendous for that day and age of, you know, the running game was more prevalent. Now, the dominant style of play at that day was a little bit different than we know of today. The strategy and the formational look in 1941 game were different than we could recognize in this modern game. Now, it was still in this era of single platoon football where substitutions were rare and players staying out on the field from the initial whistle to the final gun was quite common. The offensive choice was predominantly the use of the single wing, which was a popular choice the success of the Bears had in 1940 in the NFL championship game where they beat the Washington Redskins using the T formation. So the single wing was almost on its way out when, you know, saw that 73-0 game, the Bears defeating the Washington Redskins. Now, had many of those coaches that were in the NFL in a college game starting to think about the T formation, and Clark Shaughnessy, then the head coach at Stanford, helped the Bears employ the formation to surprise that Washington 11 just those few months earlier. So that's your 1941 season, a season that would definitely change football. You know, going on in professional football, it's going to be much different. And we're in a war now. And that championship game was, in a playoff game, was actually played when we had, after we had declared war, after that December 7th attack on Pearl Harbor. So we're going to have some more football history rewind. They're going to get really interesting, these war years. And we're talking about some military teams and some of the training that they did to provide to make professional football and college football all that much better. Stay tuned for some future episodes of the Football History Rewind and our regular programming all on football history. And we really appreciate you joining in us today. And we hope you join us each and every time we have a new post coming out. YouTube, our podcasts come out on all of the podcast aggregates. You can look for us on all the big ones. And you can look for us on pigskindispatch.com and our newsletter that just came out. We have a Substack newsletter coming out every Monday and Thursday now. We've changed our format a little bit from daily to twice a week. So you can catch up on all the latest reading on Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch. And we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and always pay attention to what's going on with our newsletter too. Till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.